talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still. Dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing.
Silence, like a cancer grows. It is amongst the fears that I see for this nation today. Well, there are those of us who are not being silent, but the problem is those who should be out on the street speaking loudly are in fact remaining silent. I'm sorry if this offends, but there's only so much that one can do down upon their knees, praying. After a while, it's time to act. Jeff Bennett here on this Thursday. No, I don't generally deal with protecting your wealth on Thursday. Sounds of silence, the darkness, the anger, the hatred, the insanity that continues to permeate this nation day by day by day by day. I have done some major things with my email program. I am putting more and more mail into junk. There's two or three new so-called websites that have come up that are nothing but copies of copies of copies of what other people do, and some of it's so stupid. And I just unsubscribe. How I ever got on those lists, I have no freaking clue. I want to scream. I do scream. Not for the ice cream. I've got plenty of that. Ha, ha, ha. I look at some of the stupid, ignorant news pieces that come before me, and this just moments before I connected to go on the air. Do you live in Virginia? I think of Virginia back in the old days when that son of a bitch Lincoln sent his boys down there to invade a sovereign state that was in effect the kickoff for the war of northern aggression. Oh, I'm sorry if that offends some of you. Read your history. Study it. Learn the truth. Simple education. that I can give. We have a website called metropolis.cafe. I'm not here to push it. I'm here to get you to think beyond the insanity that was taught to us in our damn school system, the public fool system. When you get to metropolis.cafe, it's not .com, .us, that is metropolis.cafe. Below the headline, the title of the website, there's a quote by Jaime Escalante, an amazing educator out of Los Angeles, who's long since retired, maybe even deceased, who once said, I tell my students, you do not enter the future, you create the future. The future is achieved through hard work. Directly below that are four entries. Home, Le Metropolis Café, Metropolis, the story in words and deeds. Hold your mouse over words and deeds. There's eight chapters underneath it, all of which go through continual growth. The one I really want you to hover over is the chapter entitled, What God Has Joined. And in doing so, yeah, there's a very lengthy piece that I've written. And you scroll on down, you begin to see a whole bunch of different historical venues. Those that are marked in a dark red are active. You click on any one of those, it'll take you directly to some of the columns you want to look at. The upper section is good groundwork. The second section down below the subheadline, Truths of History, will begin to take you into things talking about the moral tariffs, Lincoln's tariff wars, true causes of the war, understanding the moral tariff, the Corwin Amendment. Begin to read and study these things, and you'll begin to see exactly the kind of crap that was bestowed upon us all. There are other entries I have not yet done. They are in a black ink, and we'll get to them. I've had no damn time, but I strongly urge you do that. You'll understand the real reason for the so-called Civil War. But let's go back to Virginia for a moment. If you live in Virginia or you're driving through there, don't dare think about catching a few winks in your car if you get tired. Oh, no. That's the warning from the civil rights experts who say that a new Roanoke County ordinance now allows police to do warrantless searches and seizures on vehicles and their drivers if you take a nap. Oh, yeah. Roanoke County Code 13-14, quote, makes it illegal for people to sleep in their cars and subjects them to warrantless seizures and searches by police, along with a fine of $250. Oh, my God. This is nothing more than a thinly veiled attempt to crack down on the area's homeless population that is constitutionally vague, overly broad. But here is what I find interesting. What happens if a guy's been driving for 2 days? He's on the way to D.C. or something because he's got to testify before the Senate for some other stupid, worthless reason. And the guy just breaks down and he's tired. And he pulls over in a park and decides to take a quick nap for an hour or so. Because without doing so, continuing to drive on the road, it could be hazardous to his health or life and others. But they've got a right to go in and grab this guy's goods and fine him $250. This is unbelievable. Welcome to America. Welcome to America. That's just one little vignette. James Madison once said, of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual war. And that, my friends, is what this nation has been embroiled in for more years than, frankly, any of us have been alive. But understand something. Eventually, and read back and study in your history, all military empires fall and fail by spreading themselves so thin and ultimately spending themselves to death. How many times do we do programs and publications on the history of Rome? It happened there. It's happening again. Right here. I briefly take a sidestep here. On our main so-called political website, which I really reached the point I could care less about any longer, there is a piece that I slightly altered. And it's become interesting because I'm finding other folks that like what we do on this website, federalobserver.com, and refer a lot of their readers to this site. The thing that's interesting is this little, you can't call it a catchphrase, it's a little piece that I rewrote that says, the phrase, the fall of America, suggests some cataclysmic event ended the American Empire, which had stretched from Maine to California and Florida to Washington. But at the end, there was no straining at the gates, no barbarian horde that dispatched the empire in one fell swoop. No, rather the empire fell slowly as a result of challenges from within and without and changing over the course of hundreds of years until its form was unrecognizable. Now, I don't remember who the original author of that was, but in effect, they were actually talking about the fall of Rome. A few words here and there changed, but very few words changed. Think about that. That's appalling, but it's exactly what's happening right here. But let's go back. At the height of its power, even the mighty Roman Empire could not stare down a collapsing economy and a burgeoning military. Prolonged periods of war, false economic prosperity largely led to its demise. As historian Chalmers Johnson once stated, the fate of previous democratic empires suggests that such a conflict is unsustainable, will be resolved in one of two ways. You see, Rome attempted to keep its empire and lost its democracy. Britain chose to remain democratic and in the process let go its empire. Intentionally or not, the people of the United States already are well embarked upon the course of non-democratic empire. And so, our American empire, with our endless wars waged by U.S. military service people who have been reduced to little more than guns for hire, outsourced, stretched too thin, deployed to far-flung places to police the globe, is approaching a total breaking point. My God, we're now at the point that we're forced to induct people into our military that if they've got half a brain at all, and their mental capacity is up there, we're still having to suck in the LGBTQ crowd, the sexual change crowd, the God knows what, sick, twisted people and individuals. And from that moment on, the American public's got to pay to get their peckers cut off, to change their sex, to fit whatever it is they think they want to become. Sad. But we're sidestepping. War has become, as most of us know, a huge money-making venture. In America, with this vast military empire, its incestuous relationship with a host of international defense contractors, is one of the best buyers and sellers. Reuters recently reported that Trump had gone further than any of his predecessors to act as a salesman for the U.S. defense industry. Under Trump's leadership, the U.S. military has been dropping a bomb every 12 minutes. All of which follows on the heels of Obama, the so-called anti-war candidate and, God forbid, Nobel Peace Prize winner, who waged war longer than any American president, and whose targeted drone killings resulted in at least 1.3 million lives lost to the U.S.-led war on terror. Somewhat recently, the Trump administration signaled its willingness to put the lives of American troops on the line in order to guard Saudi Arabia's oil resources. Roughly 200 American troops joined the 500 that were already stationed in Saudi Arabia. Well, that's in addition to the 60,000 troops that have been deployed throughout the Middle East for decades. And for what? So we're at the beck and call of the Israelis? Sorry, that's reality, people. Washington Post pointed out that the United States is now the world's largest producer, and its reliance on Saudi imports has dropped dramatically, including by 50% in the past 2 years alone. We're talking oil. So if we're not protecting the oil for ourselves, whose interests are we protecting? The military-industrial complex is calling the shots, of course. Profit is its primary objective. The military-industrial complex, by the way, is also the world's largest employer. Oh, God, my friends. America's long had a penchant for endless wars that empty our national coffers while fattening those of that military-industrial complex, that thing that Dwight D. Eisenhower, as he got ready to step out of the office, warned so strongly against. And so aided and abetted by the U.S. government, the U.S. taxpayer, the American military complex has erected an empire unsurpassed in history in its breadth and scope. One dedicated to conducting perpetual warfare throughout the earth. Think about it. We've got military bases and involvement in some 120-odd nations around the world. Why? We're being invaded on our southern borders. Oh, yeah, I know, that's right. The Constitution, at least we're told, prevents the military from helping defend our borders. Bullshit! Oh, I'm sorry if I got so blunt. Maybe offended a few people. It's reality. Wake up. Stop being a child. You see, it's interesting that this nation constitutes only 5% of the world's population. And yet we boast almost 50% of the world's total military expenditure, spending more on our military than the next 19 biggest spending nations combined. The Pentagon spends more on war than all 50 states combined spend on health, education, welfare, and safety. Maybe that tells you where some of the problems are. And yet, unfortunately, this level of warmongering doesn't come cheap to the taxpayers. We're the ones that are forced to foot the bill. And then our sons and maybe our daughters and our federal citizens, many of them pay the ultimate price. For what? Yeah, and I served. 4.5 years. Spent 2 years in Deutschland. 21 months in the NAM. And I'll tell you right now, I would not trade one day of that 21 months in Vietnam. I wouldn't trade one day of it. In my life, it was a very interesting 21 months. I learned a lot. I traveled. Yeah, I had a good time. Met some great people who, over a half a century later, are still extremely close friends. having been co-opted by greedy defense contractors, corrupt politicians, incompetent government officials, America's expanding military empire is bleeding this country dry at a rate of more than, get this, $32 million an hour. At the end of this one-hour program, this nation will be $32 million more in the hole just because of our military empire. Multiply that times 24. What do you get? You do it. I'm not doing it. The U.S. government has spent more money in the last 5 seconds in Iraq than the average American earns in a year. We have more than 800 military bases. Now it's down to only 80 countries. And the U.S. is now operating in 40% of the world's nations at a cost of between $160 to $200 billion annually. All this despite the fact that Congress has only officially declared war 11 times in this nation's short history. Last time being during, you know, the big one, WW2. And yet the United States has been at war for all but 21 of the past 243 years. Oh, it's cost us, the taxpayer, more than $4.7 trillion since 2001 to fight the government's so-called war on terrorism. All in addition to the $127 billion spent in the last 17 years to train the police, the military, the border patrol agents in many countries. Not just here. And to develop anti-terrorism education programs, among other activities. Doesn't include the cost of maintaining and staffing the 800-plus U.S. military bases spread around the globe. My friends, the cost of perpetuating those endless wars and military exercises around the globe is expected to push the total bill upwards of $12 trillion. By a time in the calendar where I will not be around to see it, the year 2053. My God, if I make it that far, I'll be 105 years old. No thank you. Our government spends more money that it does not have on a military empire it can no longer afford. There's an investigative journalist, Yuri Friedman, says that for more than 15 years now, the U.S. has been fighting terrorism with a credit card, essentially bankrolling the wars with debt in the form of purchases of U.S. Treasury bonds by U.S.-based entities like pension funds and state and local governments, and by countries like China and Japan. Oh, that's right. Sorry, China's been peddling their, dumping their treasury bonds. They don't want to support us any longer. War ain't cheap, but it becomes outrageously costly, my friends, when you factor in government incompetence and fraud and greedy contractors. An example here. A leading accounting firm concluded that one of the Pentagon's largest agencies cannot account for hundreds of millions of dollars worth of spending. Now, I don't know if that's the same story that I began reading about some months ago, maybe it was a year ago, about how the Pentagon can't account for some $6 million that's missing. Now, let's face it, the outlook ain't much better for the spending that can be tracked. Considering the government lost more than $160 billion to waste and fraud by the military and the defense contractors, with paid contractors often outnumbering enlisted combat troops, the American war effort, dubbed as the Coalition of the Willing, quickly evolved into the Coalition of the Billing. And you and I are forced to cough up billions of dollars for cash bribes and luxury bases and a highway to nowhere, faulty equipment, salaries for the so-called ghost soldiers. Oh, and I'm sure we paid for a few trips on Epstein's private jet. We continue to pay for overpriced anything and everything associated with this war effort, including a $640 toilet seat and a $7,600 coffee pot. You heard me, $7,600 coffee pot, not 76 bucks. This is insane. I mean, I thought the days of the overpriced toilet seats was over and done with. Think about it. It's ridiculous. I got this ad blocker on my computer, and they're all trying to override me, and they won't let me in my in the sites unless I do it. Well, guess what? All I do is copy the URL, move over to my other, you know, Safari or over to Firefox, and I can override these jerks. $7,600 coffee pot. My God. Whew. A government audit found that defense contractor Boeing has been massively overcharging taxpayers for mundane parts, resulting in tens of millions of dollars in overspending. The report stated the American taxpayer paid, get this, $71 for a metal pin that to anyone else costs 4 cents. $644.75 for a small gear smaller than a dime that sells for $12.51. More than a 5,100% increase in price. $1,678 for another tiny part, smaller than a dime, that could have been bought within the Department of Defense for $7.71. A 21,000% increase. My God, people, we're in the wrong business. $71 for a straight, thin metal pin that Department of Defense had on hand, unused by the tens of thousands, worth 4 cents apiece. 177,000% increase. This price gouging has become such an accepted form of corruption within the American military empire that, frankly, it's a sad statement on how little control that we, the people, have over our runaway government or anything else. And it's not just the American economy that's being gouged. Driven by a greedy defense sector, the American homeland has been transformed into a battlefield with militarized police, weapons better suited to a war zone. And Trump, he's no different from his predecessors. He's continued to expand America's military empire abroad and domestically, calling on Congress to approve billions of dollars more to hire cops, build more prisons, wage more profit-driven war on drugs, war on terrorism, war on crime programs, all of which panders to the powerful money interests, the military, the corporate, and security that run the deep state and hold the government in its clutches. Drain the deep state? My assets. My friends, this is not just corrupt behavior. It's deadly, downright immoral behavior. But you see, essentially, in order to fund this burgeoning military empire that polices the globe, the U.S. government is prepared to bankrupt this nation, jeopardize our servicemen and women, our children, increase the chances of terrorism and blowback domestically, and push the nation that much closer to eventual collapse. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I want to ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect?
Back a little sooner than I expected to be back. Do you begin to understand my anger? I'm sure that there's other topics that, you know, you folks would rather tune in and listen to. But, you know, most of those other topics are being discussed by a wide array of other broadcasters on this network. People ask me, oh, did you listen to so-and-so today? Did you listen to so-and-so last night? The guy, I have made it a habit in nearly 25 years on the air. I don't listen to other people's programs. I don't want to be affected by the direction they take or their mannerisms or whatever the case may be. I'm one of the few that rarely ever take phone calls. For years, I did two-hour broadcasts, 5 days a week. I don't do it anymore. I'm doing 2 hours a week here on RBN. Tuesdays, we concentrate on economic-related issues. Thursdays, I've made some decisions to move into far more hard-hitting areas. We, unfortunately, are facing an election next year. And maybe, if people get off their assets, not that I'm a big proponent of the whole voting mechanism because the whole thing's rigged anyway, but we keep voting in the same jerks 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years over and over and over again, no matter which party they claim to represent. You want to talk about which party that they claim to represent? I'm going to refer you back to an article very quickly that it was sent to me by a longtime good friend and supporter and reader. Earlier in the week, I got to find it. The thing may have already scrubbed off the... Oh, it's on the front page of federalobserver.com. It's down a little over halfway. It's a list of socialists and communists in country or in Congress. These are strictly the ones in the House of Representatives. That doesn't even count the SOBs that are in the Senate. You take a look and start looking at this list. And right at the top of the list is this jerk Raul Grijalva that we're stuck with here in Arizona. Worked with the Communist Party USA since at least 1993. Openly refers to him as an Alinskyite. And then you take a look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The next 9 people on the list are all from California. And you wonder why California is such a mess? The next 3 after that are from Connecticut. Well, that state's just got a marvelous bunch of things going on. Then you got folks from Florida, from Georgia. They're from all over the place. Drop down into Illinois. Let's see what they got in Illinois. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of them from Illinois. One guy, Jesus Chuy Garcia. 40 years he's worked with the Communist Party USA. Bobby Rush, former leader of the Black Panther Party. He's worked closely with Communist Party USA for decades. Been to Cuba twice. The list goes on and on. Let's not forget. We've got the squad, all 4 of them. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tahir Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. There's your squad. All of them work with Democratic Socialists of America. Freedom Road Socialist Organizations, pro-Beijing Chinese Progressive Associations out of Boston. And the list goes on and on and on. Eleanor Holmes Norton, former Young People's Socialist League member, long connection to the Democratic Socialists of America. And once again, this doesn't even represent those in the Senate. That's strictly the House of Representatives. These are the kind of things that need to be looked at. These are the kind of people that need to be addressed. They need to go. G.O., hit the road, Jack, but be damn careful who replace them with. Think about all this stuff. It's insane. Absolutely insane. Look, there's a good reason why bloated, corrupt, and inefficient are among the words most commonly applied to government, well, especially Department of Defense and its contractors. Price gouging, an accepted form of corruption within the American military empire. But it's not just the American economy that's being gouged, unfortunately. Driven by a greedy defense sector, the American homeland has been transformed into a battlefield. We've got militarized police, weapons better suited to a war zone. Oh, but don't forget, Dick's Sporting Goods just melted down a bunch of you know, AR-14 type weapons, which according to what I've read were pretty low grade pieces of crap anyway. But let's face it, those aren't, you know, what they call them to be. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid, you know, if AR-15s were out there, I could have gone out to a kid's toy store and bought a plastic version of it. Oh, my God. As I said, Trump is no different from his predecessors. It goes on and on and on. Deadly, downright immoral behavior. But what do we do? There are those who want to get rid of Trump for the wrong reasons, just because he's on the other side. But is he? Or has he basically been sent a warning, you're going to play ball or you ain't going to live, or your son isn't going to live? In order to fund this burgeoning empire that polices the globe, the U.S. government is prepared to bankrupt the nation. As I said earlier, jeopardize our servicemen and women. Making matters worse, taxpayers are being forced to pay $1.4 million an hour to provide U.S. weapons to countries that can't afford them. Mother Jones once reported the Pentagon's foreign military finance program opens the way for the U.S. government to pay for weapons for other countries. Only to promote world peace, of course. But it's using our tax dollars, yours and mine, which are then recycled into the hands of the military-industrial complex corporations. Our national priorities are in desperate need of an overhauling. One of my least favorite publications in the country, the Los Angeles Times. But they've got a writer named Steve Lopez, who says, why throw money at defense when everything else is falling down around us? Do we need to spend more money on our military, $600 billion just this year alone, than the next seven countries combined? Do we need 1.4 million active military personnel and 850,000 reserves when the enemy at the moment, ISIS, numbers in the low tens of thousands? If so, it seems there's something radically wrong with our strategy. Should 55% of the federal government's discretionary spending go to the military and only 3% to transportation when the toll on American lives is far greater from failing infrastructure than it is from terrorism? Does California need nearly as many active military bases, 31 of them, according to what we hear? Reading. Thirty-three state university campuses? That's just from University of California alone? Does the state need more active duty military personnel than public elementary school teachers? But on the other hand, then we've got to stop and think about what those 139,000 public school teachers in California are teaching our children. When they're bringing trannies in to do little strip teases in front of kindergarten and first and second grade kids. The illicit merger of the global armaments industry and the Pentagon that Eisenhower warned us against more than a half a century ago has come to represent perhaps the greatest threat to the nation's fragile infrastructure today. The government's destabilizing the economy, destroying the national infrastructure through neglect and a lack of resources. And they're turning taxpayer dollars into blood money with its endless wars, drone strikes, mounting death tolls. The exact scenario Eisenhower warned against when he cautioned the citizenry not to let the profit-driven war machine endanger our liberties or democratic processes. Eisenhower stated exactly this. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, and those who are cold and are not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. The cost of one modern heavy bomber is this: a modern brick school in more than 30 cities. It is two electric power plants, each serving a town of a 60,000 population. It is two fine, fully equipped hospitals. It is some 50 miles of concrete pavement. We pay for a single fighter plane with a 500,000 bushels of wheat. Remember, these are figures that are based on 50 years ago. We pay for a single destroyer with new homes that could have housed more than 8,000 people. This, I repeat, the best way of life to be found on the road the world has been taking. This is not a way of life at all, in any true sense. Under the cloud of threatening war, it is humanity hanging from a cross of iron. Dwight D. Eisenhower. And we fail to heed his warning. The illicit merger of the armaments industry and the government that Eisenhower warned against has come to represent perhaps the greatest threat to the nation today. What we have is a confluence of factors and influences that go beyond more comparisons to Rome. It is the unit of Orwell's 1984 with its shadowy totalitarian government, fascism. Fascism. Then you get the Antifa, who claim that they're anti-fascist, but they're anything but. They are fascist. The union of government, corporate powers, that's your fascism. A total surveillance state with a military empire extended throughout the world. This is how tyranny rises and freedom falls. The growth of and reliance on militarism, my friends, as the solution for our problems, both domestically and abroad, bodies ill or bodes ill for the constitutional principles which form the basis of the American experiment in freedom. An experiment that we're sadly failing in. But after all, a military empire ruled by martial law does not rely on principles of equality nor justice for its authority, but on the power of the sword. And as author Aldous Huxley warned, liberty cannot flourish in a country that is permanently in a war footing, or even a near war footing. Permanent crisis justifies permanent control of everybody and everything by the agencies of the central government. Find one statement in this 40-odd minute diatribe I've shared with you that you can disagree with. I don't think you can do it. Very sad. Very, very sad. And here we sit. It's not that I frankly give a damn, because it's all manipulated mind control. It's all economic control. I look at today's market. The Dow's up 140, almost 149 points at 26,500. S&P 500 is up 20 points at 2940. NASDAQ's up 50 points at 2954. Global Dow's up over 41 today at 2970. Gold is off $14 as we speak right now at about 1498. Oil's up $1.09 today. Oh my goodness gracious. Why? Because of what's going on in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia? I thought we were the world's largest oil producer now. So it's up $1.10 at $53.69 a barrel. Watch out. It'll be jumping at the pump, baby. Unreal. What's the rest of the metals market doing? Who knows? Who cares? according to what I'm looking at right now, if these numbers are current, let's pop it over here and see what we got. Let's see. Rhodium's up $75 today at $4,800 an ounce. Palladium up $16, currently at $1,680. Platinum's up $6 at $896 an ounce. Wow, it's getting close to $900. Woo-wee. Silver's down 20 cents today at $1,750. Gold is right now is down about 11.5. Lady I talked to earlier in the day, obviously we've got some lower price factors than what we talked about several hours ago. So, yeah, gold's down around 1493, 1494, 95, somewhere in that area. And I say somewhere in the area because the figures jump all over the place. They really do. I did not publish new headlines today because I frankly have not had time. So we're still dealing with yesterday's headlines. But what's the difference? What changes from day to day on any of this stuff? I look at some of the images I tend to post that are offensive to people. Oh, but this image didn't really offend, other than it should. Picture of a guy standing here with a nice plaid shirt on, pair of jeans, nice leather belt. His finger pointing down to that little coin pocket in the jeans, you know. I don't know if they put those in them anymore. I haven't bought a new pair of jeans in years. I still wear jeans, but for what, 2-3 months out of the year? You know, some of them are sitting there on the hangers with a crisp starch crease in the front. The dry cleaners I used to use here close to the house, and a good bunch of people. They sold out to some chick from New York. She's a real piece of work. She comes out here. They change the way that they're ironing jeans, and all of a sudden they're ironing flat in the front. Sorry, I like creases in the front of my jeans. And this gal's from New York. That's typically what they do back there. And I went in and made them redo the damn jeans and do them right. Fortunately, the gal who used to own the place was temporarily working over there to help this gal get the place established. Well, she wound up closing the place down and moved it elsewhere. But that's not the point. So the guy's sitting there pointing his finger at that little tiny pocket on the right side of the jeans. And I can tell these are Levi's by the way they're made. You know what that pocket's for? Not too many people know it. That little tiny pocket in your jeans is for your paycheck after you've paid your taxes. Because that's all you've got left. Don't laugh. It ain't all that far away from reality any longer. That's right. Some things to look at. I read a piece this morning that I know I will not have the time to finish. But I want you to compare this. We're slipping into madness. Recently, a video by Yale history professor Timothy Snyder, where he stated it's patently clear that some of the people you're involved with who were involved in current politics are borrowing some of the tactics of the 1920s and 30s. Now, this video came after discussing another article where I read some comparison talking about the political talk in the UK to the rhetoric of one Joseph Goebbels. And then you look at the headlines. Turkey begins offensive against U.S. ally in Syria. Fed worries about rising economic risks in the trade war. EU offers ultimatum to Johnson and Brexit plan. India and China face off over Himalayan flashpoint. Two killed in Germany shooting after a failed attack on a synagogue. Several days ago, there was an in-depth report published. Actually, it was earlier in the year, all about political populism. And the key message was that we are seeing echoes of the 1920s and 30s in today's politics because we echo the economics of the 1920s and 30s. You see, we had a debt-driven gilded age boom prior to 2008, which was very analogous to the Roaring Twenties. Then we had a colossal bust, which was kind of like 1929. And since then, we have failed to work out how to deal with the debt overhang to coordinate a global recovery between countries so that all boats rise, and within countries so all boats rise, not just the yachts. We ain't worked out how to ensure capital circulates substantially internationally or domestically, or in your pocket and my pocket. And so as a response, the will of the people, that's kind of us versus them. The walls over the bridges, they're all back. And many are worrying, now as then, for sound underlying reasons. People didn't just slip into madness in the 1930s. If normality offers you a raw deal, you will opt for an alternative. But what's being sold today's populism may not be a solution. And yet neither is the status quo ante. We repeat our errors. I mean, look at the Fed, look at its history, look at the problems they're facing at present. The Fed allowed the 1929 crash to happen, or rather they failed to stop the French mercantilism driving us towards the 29 crash. Then they failed to put in place appropriate policies afterwards. And it's going on and on and on and on. Nothing's changed. There is a movie in 1940, Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator. He played a gentle Jewish barber as well as his lookalike, the mustachioed European dictator, Adenoid Hinkle. Hollywood likes to hold up as an example of U.S. freedoms, which overlooks the fact that when Chaplin was making the film, Nazi Germany was still a key export destination for movies. So no studio would finance it. But Chaplin funded the movie with his own money to get it made, proved to be a hit, and then Hollywood embraced it. So the barber pleads to Hinkle's massed armies, and at the end of the movie, a very lengthy speech, which, interestingly enough, can be found on YouTube. I'll have this published in a little while. I've got to go out for a couple hours, take care of some things, but it's well worth looking at because it gives a distinctive understanding. History doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, my friends. And that's what we're about to face. It's not going to repeat itself. It's going to rhyme with the days of old. It's been an interesting program today. I hope you get some value out of it. That's what we try to do here. I'm out of here for the weekend. I have a granddaughter that turns 8 years of age today, and I can't even be there for her party. Why? I'm still sick. I'll see y'all Tuesday, Lord willing. Bye-bye.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.